Hi, this is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments, and today we'll be talking about a very difficult and contentious topic, praying for the desires of your hearts. Now, a lot of people turn that into an idol. They pray for their wants. They pray for all sorts of silly things, and they get disappointed with God and angry with God. People say, look, it says here, he's going to give me the desires of my heart, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and they have a huge shopping list from God, and it's idolatry, and it's materialism, and it's lust. And it's praying for the things of the world and not the things of God. And they get disappointed and busted and disgusted. So we're going to pray about that issue. We're going to pray about what God says about praying for the desires of your heart. Can you really go out and pray for a red Mercedes-Benz? Can you really go out and pray for a mistress? Can you pray to be a good bank robber? What sort of things does God allow you to pray for or not pray for you? You might say, John, you're being a bit tough here. You're being a bit tough on us. So that's okay. Let's listen to the word of God. Because at the end of it, you'll learn how to pray for the desires of your heart. You might even learn what your real desires of your heart are. And you'll find out them as you get older in life. But I'd rather that you learnt them now while you're young. So listen in now and let me pray for you that you may learn how to pray and receive the desires of your heart. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll give us wisdom and understanding and spiritual truth, that you'll open our eyes and ears to know wonderful things from your word, that you'll teach us by your Spirit the things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man. Teach us these things now, in Jesus' name, amen. So, let's look at the famous few verses from Psalm 37, verses 4 to 8. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice is the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. So here's the passage where it talks about you getting the desires of your heart, and everyone wants that. But you need to understand that you're two people. You're a natural man and a spiritual man. Your spirit and your flesh. You're a man of God and a person of sin. You're a woman of God, or someone that gets herself into trouble with all sorts of irrational nonsense. So we're actually kind of two people, and there's a complicated thing I could teach you about later in Romans 7, where Paul talks about one eye and another eye. He says, therefore it is not I who sin, but sin that dwells in me. So the true self, the true eye, does not sin. Your holy self, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that self, your spiritual man, your natural man sins, but your spiritual man doesn't. Your spiritual man desires the things of God. So the desires of your heart, if you're born again, should be the desires of the Holy Spirit, the desires of God, the desire for righteousness, and these are the things that God's going to give you. He's not going to give you the clamorous desires of your natural man. Your natural man is all about self-ego, self-protection, self-this and self-that. The natural man's full of fear. And the natural man just wants to grab this and grab that and have as many toys as possible. And God's not interested in giving you as many toys as possible so you can be as proud as possible, because that's what the natural man wants. The natural man wants to be proud, wants to have status, wants to have glamour, wants to be the center of attention and dancing around in its own spotlight. God's not going to answer any of that. That is the world. God does not satisfy your desires for this world. He does not satisfy your desires for being self-important and lording it over other people and putting them down and putting yourself up. That's not Christ. God will satisfy every desire you have for the Spirit of Christ. He will satisfy your desires for eternal life, for being holy, for being gentle, for being loving and kind. And as you get older, you'll realize that that's what you really wanted. No one on their deathbed said they needed to spend another day in the office. Self-importance fades away as you get older. And I'm 62 now, and I can tell you self-importance is fading off the horizon pretty fast. It's the things of God that you really want. You want peace. You want quiet. You want good relationships. You want to love and be loved. You want to know the security of God. You want to know that God loves you and that you're going to spend time in heaven, that you're going to be in eternity with God, that you're going to rejoice with the angels and be before his throne, that you will have a reward in heaven. That's much more important. We need to get our egos out of the way, and we want to ask, what is the desires of your true self? Now, who is your true self? Your true self is the person you're going to be for the rest of eternity, the person that you're going to be in heaven. Now, God forbid, but if you should be struck by a car right now and you ended up in heaven, you would have no more desire for the things of this world. You'd have no more desire for pomp and ego, and you'd have no more desire for sin. That would all vanish in a split second. You'd be before the Lord in glory, and your desire would be for a heavenly reward. Your desire would be for friendship with the other people in heaven, the people that you've missed, the people that have gone before. Your desire would be for relationship with others and with God. Your desire would be for holiness and to go and to praise the Lord. They're your true desires. They're the desires of your inner self. They might be muted at the moment. Everyone else on TV and around is telling you to desire this, desire that, to desire this vacuum cleaner, that car, that house, that kind of countertop or that range of salary. And so we're pushed to desire worldly things and told the desire for spiritual things is dumb and stupid. So when we're praying for our heart desires, we want to know what our heart actually desires. Because your heart doesn't desire what you think it desires. You might think that your heart desires to have a harem like some of these Arab sheikhs, or your heart desires to live in a castle on the Rhine River. But that's a deception. That's a worldly deception. That's not your true self if you're born again. If you're born again, you have a new nature. Behold, all things have passed away. The old things have passed away. Those old desires have gone. And you are new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus with a new set of desires. A desire for the kingdom of God. Desires for godly character. Desire to be free from sin. A desire not to have guilt hanging over your life. A desire to be able to read and understand the scriptures. A desire to be able to do good things for God. A desire to see your relatives come to Christ. A desire to understand the Bible. Now these are the desires that God's going to answer. He's going to answer your true desires of your eternal self. The desires that God are going to answer are the true desires of your eternal self. We need to establish that first. Because if you take God will answer the desires of your heart to mean that God's going to give you some worldly thing, that God's going to give you a 15-carat diamond ring or something like that, then you're sadly mistaken. God may give you that, but he's going to give it to you out of his generosity and goodness. But the desires of your heart are not for those things. You may say, that's terrific, thank you, God. But really, really, when you look down deep inside yourself, what you want is love. What you want is a good relationship with God. What you want is to be holy and pure. What you want is a new self, and God's going to give you that in Christ Jesus. You want to put on the new man and get off the old man. You want to have peace of mind. You want to have a heart that's rejoicing in God always. You want to have confidence and faith. And they're the things that you can ask God for. Let's look at some principles there. Mark 11:24. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So I'm not talking about a red Mercedes-Benz. I can't believe that I'm going to receive a red Mercedes-Benz. So if God gives me one, I'll say thank you very much. So whatever I, and the I there is your spiritual self, your new man, whatever the new man asks for in prayer, believe you've received it and will be yours. And you can try it right now. You can ask God for peace of mind. As you're driving along in the car or listening to this radio, and you're listening in, say, Lord, I believe I have received perfect peace from God. Put out your hands if it's safe for you to do so and breathe in and say, Lord, I believe I am receiving the perfect peace of God. And pray for peace of mind and peace of heart. And God will give you peace of mind and peace of heart. And so you can pray for things like you can pray to know scripture. When I was going out to Papua New Guinea as a missionary, there was no Bible colleges, no resources. It was a big swamp in the middle of the Fly River. There was nothing there except for people to be preached to. And so I said, Lord, I'm not going to have all these resources when I go there because I can just pack a couple of suitcases and take them with me into the jungle. Please give me a tremendous memory for Scripture. And God gave me a tremendous memory of Scripture. I asked for it. I believed I would receive it. And I did receive it. And I was able to remember all the things that God wanted me to remember. So believe that you've received the things that you're asking for from God. Believe that you've received deliverance from your sins and your addictions. Believe that you've received righteousness from your Heavenly Father. Believe that you're going to receive the love that you need in your life to function. Believe that you receive the work of God in your life. Now in James 4:1-4 it says, those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. He's talking about prayer here. He's talking about wrong desires. It says these people are very worldly. The church he was writing to was a church of rich oppressors, rich, powerful people who were taking away their slaves' wages, and they were fighting over Lamborghinis or whatever, and they were committing murder because they want this and want that. What a terrible church. What a shame to write to a church that was this full of disputes and even murdering one another. That's terrible. But in Philippians 4, 5 to 7, it says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So we get rid of those anxieties that drive our fretfulness and our stupid behavior, and we ask God to give us peace of mind and heart as we pray for the things that our heart truly desires. And in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." We can have confidence before God that God hears us when we're praying for the things that are in accord with our new nature. So we see Paul praying that people would have wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of God. He would pray that people would grow in their faith and they would know the height and depth and length and width of the love of God. We can pray for all those kind of things that are in accordance with our new nature. We can pray that our church would be in unity. We can pray that our relationships would be restored with our parents or our brothers or our sisters. We can pray for boldness and faith. And we can know that God hears us in these things because we're praying in the will of God. We're not praying for foolishness. We're not praying for a ball gown studded with sequins and diamonds so we can impress somebody. So let us pray for the things of God. Pray for the things that truly matter. And then we know that God hears us, and we know that God hears us. We know firmly in our heart that God's got that prayer. He's put it in heaven. It's like gold incense before his throne, and we're going to have it. So when you're praying for your heart's desires, pray for the desires of your better nature. Pray for the desires of heaven. Pray for the desires that are revealed in the Bible. These are the desires that God will answer, and he will answer them every single time because they're according to his will. Now, you might have to persist. You might have to pray hard. You might have to pray for a long while before some of the purposes of God in your life are realized. But that prayer will be answered because it's in the will of God. It's from your better nature. It's from your heavenly nature. It's from your new nature. It's from the scripture. It's from Jesus. It's from Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus dwells in you so he can do his will through you. And when you pray so that God's will be done through you, so Christ will be expressed in the earth and God will be glorified, that prayer is going to be answered. And in my ministry, I've seen amazing answers to prayer over the years as God provides, guides, and leads us to complete impossible projects. God will answer every prayer that's for his glory and according to his will, and there has to be a desire that's deep in you, a spiritual desire that's stirred up by the Holy Ghost. Pray that God will give you spiritual desires instead of carnal desires, and as you have those spiritual desires, they will be answered according to the will of God. Lord, I pray for everyone that hears this broadcast that you will give them spiritual desires. They will desire high and holy things, and that God will answer them, and God will bless them, and they will walk in the joy of the Lord, and they will see an entirely new life they've never seen before. In Jesus' name, amen.